Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. City councilors are in studio right now. An announcement or two. First of all, next week we expect city staff, followed by county staff, and then the 22nd of this month, the county commissioners are scheduled to be in studio here. So that's what to look forward to on the Tuesday Talk Show. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. In the meantime, if you want to jot that number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest live. In the meantime, I want to welcome to the microphones of KAJO, City Council President Valerie Marshall and Councilor Eric Schlogel. Welcome. Glad to have you all here with us this morning.
Welcome. It's Victoria Marshall.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate it.
All right. Victoria, I'm going to start with Eric today because this is his first time here since he was elected to the council. And I want to hear about your impression of what the job is like so far and the learning curve that you've experienced so far.
So I knew it would be difficult, and it's proven to be a little more difficult. But it's I'm here because to me it's a calling, and I want to do good for the city. We have some challenging things that have come up, and obviously, you know, the homelessness issue is on the forefront of everybody's mind right now because we're being inundated by Oregon laws, and we have to go by those, as you know. So it's been a challenge, and I'm up for it. I'm.
Any surprises? Any surprises in the job?
Well, the not surprises. Just a lot of hard work that makes me want to be more determined to do the job, and it's a challenge with a full time job as well as this city council job. I mean, it is in and of itself is a full-time job. So with two full-time jobs and a family, it's proven to be quite busy.
Have you found a way to measure that or balance all of that responsibility?
I try to spend as much time as I can with my family and try to stay focused with family time and as opposed to trying to allow these city council things to be inundated as well as my full-time job. So I have to balance that free time. And I think I'm doing pretty good at it right now, but it's just it's a challenge, and it's taking some getting used to.
How many hours a week do you figure you put in for the council? Estimate.
I can't even... I mean, it's always on my mind, and I try to it's a hard one to go put a number on because every week is a little bit different. Every as you know, we've got city council meetings every first and third week of the month. So it's just really depends on what the schedule is or what is on the agenda. So if I had to guess 20 hours every 2 weeks, maybe.
Now, how much of that is personal appearance, your body being physically available, and just reading the packet? Because I've seen I go through these packets myself many times.
Well, some packets are inch or two thick, but we've been pretty fortunate.
That's front and back pages.
Yeah, front and back pages. But we've been pretty fortunate these last couple of sessions that you know, they've been about half an inch thick, and so that's manageable. Happy to do it. I'm dedicated to make this happen.
All right. Well, thank you. Welcome. So far, so good.
Thank you.
Now, Victoria, you were giving him a thumbs up when he was talking about he's trying really hard to get the job done and doing a good job at it.
He's doing a fantastic job and is a great person to have on the city council because of the dedication and because of the determination to execute the platforms that we ran on that translated verbatim pretty much into what the city strategic plan is. And so we all worked very hard to make sure that our campaign platforms did translate into the city's strategic plan, and then we're working to execute that. And Eric is just steadfast in doing that and doing a great job.
All right, as council president right now, what are you hearing from your constituents right now? What is on their mind, and besides being homelessness?
Paired with that is the grant. I would say the grant and the proposed raises. Those are the two biggest items that we hear about that people are concerned about.
Now, when we say grant, let's explain to the people exactly what we're talking about here, because the city council has put forward a $1.2 million grant that is available for nonprofits. I'm assuming any organization that would do the job that is outlined, and that's prepare a homeless camp to accommodate about 150 people that is managed. Is that a fair assessment of what you're looking for?
Yes, it is. And if you'd like, I have a rundown of the timeline. I could very quickly go through.
Absolutely,
and
do that.
Just,
yes,
sure. So the issuance date, June 19th, and then the application deadline is July the 18th at 4 p.m. And then we will go into application review, and that will start on July the 21st. The draft agreement will happen on July the 22nd. As you can see, these are very fast approaching dates. And then we will, the recommendation presentation to council, August the 4th, and the intent to award the grant, August the 6th, and then there will be a protest period that will go until August 15th. The project will then go on to be fully operational, and any organization that wishes to apply, it is on the grants. They should contact our city recorder, Karen Ferk. But the grant is online, so you can go to our city website and you can find it there. So that's those were a lot of dates pretty quick. But as you can see, we're going to go very quickly from the time that the application is due to the city to approving the grant. And you were correct when you said that any organization can apply, and it is open to up to $1.2 million, but it doesn't have to be that much, and more than one organization. It's a possibility that more than one organization could be granted the grant.
All right. Do we have any applicants at this point?
I don't know if we have any that have turned in the application to the city yet.
I haven't seen or heard anything about anything formal as far as a application.
We know there are some organizations out there that are interested. How many do we know about that are really considering this?
I would say one or two.
Okay. So no more than
that.
Yeah. Okay. Now that.
But that doesn't mean that there aren't more.
Okay, that waiting in the bushes there, and by all means, come out and show yourselves.
Yeah.
So the schedule you outlined is pretty aggressive for government work. There's no question about that. But in the meantime, when you grant that, how do we have an idea of how long it would take to get it to the camp in place?
That would depend upon the organizations, the organization applying, and I imagine that when we go through the review process, an organization that could go more quickly would be favored over one that could not. But that just seems like common sense. But I think it should go fairly quickly. And also beyond that, then when that starts to happen, then we can be assured that the camps that people are so concerned about, and we are as well, will be no more. And as long as we're following the direction from the judge, and which we will, and our grant outlines.
So we're still under the injunction right now.
Yes, we are. And a little bit of an update on that is that we do expect resolution for the injunction and also fairly soon. So we're not talking months. We believe we're just talking weeks. So that's something that the public can look forward to, and we can as well. So I know that our attorneys have been working towards a resolution diligently. We don't hear about it, or the public doesn't hear about it too much, for obvious reasons. But it is in the works, and it hasn't been forgotten, and it should be a matter of weeks, not months. So,
we'll cross our fingers.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Once that injunction is lifted, what really happens? Because the injunction still allows resting in certain parks around town.
No, once the injunction is lifted, then the city is.
The injunction, as it stands now, still allows certain parks to be rested in.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Once the injunction is lifted, then that the city will be able to enforce our city code, and which would not allow resting in the camps and
in the parks.
In the parks. I didn't mean to say the camps. I missed. Thank you, Eric. I misspoke
there. The camps is where they're supposed
yes.
to be, but there are still some in the parks. Sixth and Midland runs right through my mind. What is it? It's Sixth and Evelyn. Sixth and Evelyn, not that. Kester's and Park, that little strip
yes.
there with, 13 tents in it, something like that, right in Main Street.
Yes. And that would, after the injunction is lifted, then those people would move to the temporary campsites
right.
because we would be able to enforce our city code.
Do we know if those temporary campsites rated for 150 people, are they at capacity? Do we know?
I don't believe that all of them are.
The one next to the police station is always pretty much empty. And then, of course, we've got the 6th and then the 5th Street. The 5th Street is gets pretty full because that's in the shade, and as well as it's furthest away from the police station, my opinion. But even 6th Street has been pretty empty driving by. You know, you see a lot of a lot of things that I'm sure many people are tired of seeing. So,
or just hearing about. We see the police reports daily. You know, fights breaking out on Fifth Street, just outside the camp. Drug deals going on outside the police station. There were on the Sixth Street campsite. I guess that's the frustration that everybody's feeling right now. So we'll just move on from that.
And we are as well.
Yes. All right. So we're just looking forward to once that situation, the grant is granted, and a new camp is up and moving, everything will close down. Is that the plan?
That's the plan. So, and that is why we've gone through this process, because this was the best possible solution for everyone. And that's why we've gone this route. The best option and the quickest. So this is the quickest resolution for our city. And we look forward to it being remedied very quickly, because we know how what's on people's minds, and we feel that too. I mean, we feel that like everyone else, and want it resolved as quickly as possible.
I mean, this is also to help prevent future lawsuits from occurring. I mean, we're the only city in the nation that can't use its own Supreme Court case to help defend itself against a lot of these Oregon laws that we have, such as HB 3115. I mean, that's what we've been battling this whole time, and a lot of people don't realize, or if they do realize, they don't understand the intricacies and all the specific details in it. But I did want to point out that the city did hold a listen and learn session on 3115 on May 19th, and it's on the city website, to be played back if you want to get further details on what it is that the city is dealing with. I mean, it is pretty draconian laws that Oregon put in place to counter the Supreme Court case that Grants Pass won in 2024. So,
all right. Here's the $64 question. Why is it only Grants Pass that finally gets hit with these lawsuits? Do we have a target on our back? Are we easy? Is it easy to come in here and do this? Because I know this is happening up and down I-5. All you need to do is drive north.
Yes, I think that we're keenly aware that we seem to be the first place, the first stop for the lawsuits. And it could be because of our national notoriety, because of the Supreme Court case. And so we're keenly aware of that. It does not mean, not to be prognosticating doomsday, but it doesn't mean that other cities aren't going to be the next city. So what happens in the resolution of our case is going to have bearing on every city in the state. And we are aware of that too. And so why are we, I mean, people could guess a lot of reasons, and maybe the first two or three guesses that they guess is probably correct. Okay. But we don't know for sure, right? Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Eric, same question that I started with Victoria, and that's what are your constituents telling you or asking you about? We've just dealt with the homeless situation. I assume you're hearing much of that same thing. Anything else that your constituents are concerned about?
I know the non-bargaining task force, that's a big one that we put in place to help deal with the pay increases. That is one that's heavy on people's minds as well, because obviously the pay increases are it's a great deal of amount of money that they're looking at, and so that's why we put the task force in place to help find a happy median.
Is that task force in place?
The task force is in place. They've had two meetings so far, and the recordings of the meetings are available on the city website for anybody to listen to. So it is transparent for everybody to see what's going on with that.
All right. So how soon do we expect a recommendation from that task force?
I'd say within the next few weeks, maybe a month.
Okay, that long, because quite frankly, those raises are on hold right now, right?
They are.
So I would imagine that speed is important at this point.
Mm-hmm. They're working diligently. Like I said, they had two meetings already, and they're looking at trying to get going through the line items and going through making a fair assessment of everything that needs to be considered.
All right. Do you have a personal feeling about the raises?
Well, it is a personal one, not so much, just a person standing back looking at all the expenses the city has that's coming from the taxpayers to fund everything, obviously. And we've got a lot of unpredictable items that are there, such as the homelessness issue with HB 3115. It's an unfunded mandate, as everybody knows, and it that means that pretty much we don't know how much money we're dealing with until after the fact, with everything that it stems from. And so that being said, with the pay raises, we have to juggle all those numbers together and figure out what a fair assessment is. So I hope that answers the question.
All right, Victoria, your same thoughts on that question.
Yes, I think I would say I wouldn't say they're personal. I don't have a personal opinion about this, but we are all doing our level best and doing due diligence, looking into all the information that we have been given, sifting through it, putting together the task force to figure out what to do going forward with the raises. And that should be, I'm guessing, a month. I don't want people to think that it's going to happen in a month, but that's a good guess going forward.
All right. Well, that's one we'll keep an eye on, and we hope that you all will keep an ear to this. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming up to the top of the hour. I have about 5 minutes left here. I want to go back to the workshop on, I believe it was June 16th, where the council directed staff to start the process of hiring a consultant to help it guide it in the next steps to figure out what's going to happen with the Washington campus property. Has that been done? Do we have an update on that? And quite frankly, in a time when the budget seemed tight and we're wondering about money, why are we sending thousands of dollars out on outside consultants?
Oh, that's something that I have been concerned about. I know we have pulled back, I believe, two that I know of. One was for strategic planning, and that's something that I know myself and other counselors newly elected have tried to make sure that we are not spending the money on the consultants. And we did have that. Was it a workshop or was it in a business meeting? I don't recall. But this is a catalyst project that could go for this particular project. I do know that there are so many different phases of this project that could bring in a lot of a new tax base. And what was presented to us, and it convincingly to me, because I'm pretty sure, I don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that we all said, yes, I think we do need a consultant for this, because there could be many different phases of that project and it could take many different forms. And the kind of expertise that was required really required an outside consultant, and because the time and the expertise was just not necessarily in our very dedicated and capable staff. So you're right, and we are very aware that we don't want to be spending too much money on outside consultants, and in fact, we have pulled back more than one. But for this one, because of the outcome of the project and what it could bring to the city, it was really necessary to do that.
What do you foresee happening on that campus?
Well, it could be mixed use. It could be different housing with also some commercial mixed in. I mean, the possibilities, what we saw, I think were pretty in early stages. So, but it's pretty exciting. That area is a little bit of a blighted area. And it's been
empty. Well, that property is blighted, but look around. There are some great homes around there.
Oh, beautiful homes. So I think that anything that would be put in there would definitely fit in with a neighborhood. I think the focus is mostly housing with some commercial. And as I remember, maybe Eric can remember a few of the other details, but it was exciting to think about some of the economic opportunities that can come out of that. But no, they aren't going to put in, you know, 100% commercial, like, because you mentioned the residential that is around there, and then the very historic Washington, just, you know, a couple of blocks down. So I think it's going to be something that will mix in beautifully and well, and really be a plus as far as tax base, you know, that can be translated into some of our needs in law enforcement and fire and such.
All right. Eric, you want to weigh in on that Washington campus?
I mean, just that, you know, it's refreshing that Grants Pass finally gets to get some economic development and improve the improve in the economy and get that tax base increased. It's very refreshing that Grants Pass is finally dealing with something else other than the elephant in the room with the homelessness issue.
All right, what do you foresee there? Is it low-cost housing? Is it retired housing? What do we see?
I believe, it's a mix.
It's a mix. I'm not sure exactly the specific mix.
Or the possibilities are that it can be a mix. And one of the models that I believe was looked at was, and this is just from memory, so was the higher end, nicer condos mixed with some commercial, I believe. So I don't believe that it's going to be a place where a large, low income, totally housing would be put in. And then what the consultant brings to us, then it comes back to council. And I know council will be very aware of making sure that it fits in with the overall neighborhood. And so, yes.
So, yes. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one, ladies and gentlemen.
It's an exciting one. Yes, it is.
You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Grants Pass, and we'll continue in a moment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today, Tuesday Talk Show continues. The number to call if you have a question or comment for our city councilors here today, the number is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you back on the air live. In the meantime, let's return to our guest this morning, Council President Victoria Marshall and Councilor, Eric Schlogel. Lady and gentlemen, welcome again, once again, to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Let's go back just recently, because we've been talking about spending some money here, in terms of things are tight. On the workshop yesterday, you dealt with a couple of situations that weren't passed and were sent ahead for more information. Let's talk about, first of all, a request for monies from Mainstream Grants Pass. Mm-hmm. Looks like a good organization with great intentions, but everybody's asking for public money. And I understand that, but it's still my money.
Absolutely.
How much were they asking for? What are the plans for that? Do we know?
I believe it was it 50 or 80 for the first year?
I believe it's 80.
80, and some of the, and then it goes up a little bit for the next 2 years. I don't know, what did you want to know about that further?
Well, if we're talking about $80,000, mm-hmm. what are we going to get for that $80,000?
I think that's why the council, there were many people who asked about how the membership, you know, how will people gain membership? Will people be denied services if they aren't members? And how would that match with this being a taxpayer funded? One of the examples was a sidewalk, you know, mm-hmm. one sidewalk clean, the next not. I think that might be a little bit of an extreme example. In terms of being able to think about it, I think that was a good thing to send back to Main Street Grants Pass and to say, well, these are things you might want to think about. I know that I asked for examples of how it's worked in other cities and the numbers that it has brought in, because it is a lot of taxpayer money. However, if you then look ahead at places like Klamath Falls or Medford that have done this, what are the numbers for the tax base that it has brought in? And it's just, at that point, it's just a numbers. And if you're going to bring in more than you're putting out, then that's a good deal. And on top of that, job creation that it could foster. I know a couple of organizations, a couple of examples that came from the presenter yesterday were the Holly Theater in downtown Medford and also downtown Klamath Falls. And there were some others too, but I was personally familiar with both of those. And when the Holly Theater went in Medford, it was a boon to the downtown area. And so it brought in much more, I believe, but that's what we want to know, and that's what we asked.
Didn't it take the Holly Theater a long time to get there, though?
Yes, that's true.
And lots of money.
Yes, that's true. So needing to have those numbers to be assured that, yes, if we're putting this in, this is what we can expect to have out. But I do believe that they will be able to find those numbers with the Klamath Falls example. That was a real successful project. But I think from yesterday's workshop, it seemed, just to be clear, that the council wants to have just a much more information about how they are going to maintain their memberships or offer their memberships, and just bottom line numbers. But I'm really excited about the project because, like I said, I've seen what it can do other places.
No, I'm not. I didn't put them in a gun sight because I know Seth Bonham is heavily involved in that, and we respect him and in the program itself.
Absolutely.
I'm just concerned about public dollars.
Absolutely. And that's why the council, and we are too. Mm-hmm. So that's why council asked for those, for that much more information.
Okay, Eric, you want to weigh in on Main Street?
Just a little addition. What I asked for, just like Victoria was saying, is to get more clarification and to add, because what was not on the presentation the other day, because they had a certain time limit, so I think they just didn't have it, but basically the details, how they what they've done for Grants Pass specifically in terms of the benefits for Grants Pass, the various businesses that are involved with that. I mean, I think that would be a splendid thing to have. That way they can advertise that. It's great advertising for hey, this is what the how the businesses are benefiting, and as a, in turn, Grants Pass economy benefits as well.
All right. Well, equal time here. It's available. Seth, the phone number is 541-472-1270. At any rate, one more item came up yesterday during that meeting, and that was another funding request from the Committee on Public Art, COPA. And I'm an arts guy. I enjoy arts. I love the arts. But sometimes I'm wondering, why am I paying for somebody else's art? So that's the question here, and I think they had a request for about $14,000. Is that fair?
But it was $15,000.
$15,000, but we didn't know what it was for. Do we have any idea what it was for yet?
We asked for more information on that, or we put that back to staff to get more specifics in terms of what we're looking at—a mural or a statue or what exactly it is that we're looking for, or that they're wanting to for the city to pay for the taxpayers to pay for.
I believe that Councillor Crone, in looking back at the minutes from the art committee meeting, thought that it might be for a sculpture, and so we need to get more. Not that sculptures are bad, of course.
Well, we didn't know what we're sculpting.
Exactly, and so we want to be really good stewards of the taxpayers' money, and to make sure that it benefits the people who live here and pay taxes here. And so, just like earlier, we talked about consultants. So from that all the way down to $15,000 for a beautification of an alley, which I do think does. If you've seen some of the alleyways that have been redone, they're amazing. I mean, you feel nice walking through there, and the overall atmosphere of the downtown, it really improves it. And I think there are a couple of alleyways that have tables that are set out there, and so it's not that it's a bad thing. But again, we do want to know what is it a sculpture? Is it
and where exactly is it going?
What is it and where is it going? And so we need to make sure. That,
and why is it costing so much?
Wait, yeah. Yes, yes, exactly.
All right. Is there an ongoing budget for COPA?
There, according to the finance director, he said that there was a separate line item for that.
Okay, so the money has been set aside for that in particular, but it all still has to come.
If I understood correctly, yes.
Okay, all right. You're listening to Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, the number to call 541-472-1270, and we'll continue after this.
Ready for fun and
project at a time.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. Ladies and gentlemen, city councilors are in studio, and on the phone we have, good morning, you're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guests?
Yes, I do. Thanks. I know that you've been discussing, or earlier you were discussing the proposed raises for city manager and some of the others, and I just saw a news item that I thought was maybe relevant to the consideration, since I know many of the elected officials that were elected in November ran as fiscal conservatives, so they might want to have this information that every year Oregon, the state of Oregon, has a wage increase, minimum wage increase. And this year it was increased by, tied to the cost of living, increase was 2.4%. Which is the smallest increase that has been granted in several years. So that brings the minimum wage up to $14.70 an hour locally. Yet our city manager is asking for a $40,000 raise this year alone, on top of his existing salary and benefit package, which is somewhere around $300,000. He wants a $40,000 raise. So I think, you know, it's often discussed that we need to be competitive, and that's true, but I think the city lately has been kind of implying that there could be lawsuits if, you know, if these raises aren't granted, and that form of intimidation to me should be unacceptable. And it's been shown that, been pretty much demonstrated already factually that what he's asking for is quite a bit above some other comparable Oregon cities. So, and, you know, they always use the argument, well, somebody, other city's going to come in and steal him, but, you know, he's applied for work in three other cities and been rejected, so I don't think that's going to happen. So anyway, I just think we should consider everyone here, and what other people are making, and some of the city staff who are making, you know, pretty low salaries in comparison, that maybe need some increase. But I think this top one, the request of $40,000 a year is unwarranted. And I would be, in favor of giving him the same 2.4 COLA raise that, everyone else basically is getting, everyone on minimum wage and many other employees throughout the state. And 2.4% raise for him would be about $5,000 a year. Whether that's even warranted, I'm not sure, but at least that, to me, would be a fiscally conservative consideration and would probably be fair. So that's kind of my comment.
All right. Comment. Victoria, you want to reply to Ward?
Yeah, sure. So really good information, and some of the information that you mention are definitely numbers that we have heard about ourselves. Others are, that's why we have the task force. So we're not entirely sure that all of the numbers that we have heard, that we have all heard, and not to say that they are wrong, but that it might, that's why we have the task force. We really have to dial down and to figure out what each of them actually are. And then we do have to pay attention to, like you said, Oregon law. And I really like hearing what you said, the 2.4% raises. These are really good metrics to be looking at. I don't happen to be on the task force for the raises, and I don't think Councillor Schlogel is either. But just from general information that I know about what has happened, is I know that the task force is drilling down on those numbers. And so maybe some of the things that you are looking to being fair for our taxpayers, certainly, and are going to be some really good numbers to look into. And definitely something that I will, the 2.4 number, I will pass along to people who are on the task force. They may be very aware of this as well. But definitely, I think the number one, well, they are of equal importance. You mentioned that there are some of our employees that are not getting near what comparable wages for people around in the area are. And we also do know that it's been, I think the number is 13 years since some of them have not had a raise aside from the cost of living. So really important things to look at on both sides. We definitely are going to be to keep in mind the stewardship of the taxpayers' dollars. And that, again, that's why we put the task force together, because we were I think many people who were on the dais were feeling like we weren't sure about all the numbers that we were getting. And so this is what we felt like, but the best course of action would be, we're going to put together a task force and we're going to drill down on the numbers. And then they will come back to us and let us know what they found. But you raised some very important issues, and they're definitely also issues that people on the dais are very find very important as well. And I know Councillor Shulgo might want to add something to that.
I'm betting he does.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just a lot of the same things. Thanks, certainly, Warren, for calling in and letting us know. It weighs heavy on a lot of counselors' minds as far as the cost of the increase in the pay raises. And exactly right. That's exactly why we did the task force, to try to figure that out and drill down on those numbers, because I believe the consultant said that we had to rip off a Band-Aid, and I think my comment was, well, that's a giant Band-Aid that needs to be ripped off. But in any case, that is why we're doing this task force, and we, again, it's all public on the city website, so we're definitely going to drill down on those numbers and get some specifics out there and see where the disparity is, or if there is a disparity. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Ward, I don't know if he hung up or if we lost him here, but he's no longer online with us. We always thank Ward for his information here. So we're looking ahead right now, just real briefly, as we get into the latter stages of the program. We do have a city council meeting coming up on tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. It looks like fairly straightforward. There's not much on there other than what I would call general housekeeping situations. Is that the consensus?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
All right, so an hour and we're done and I go home? So I can hit print and leave?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the idea tomorrow.
Yes.
So nothing new is coming out. I always, before this program, I always check to see if there is an updated agenda, but we're looking at just a couple of quasi-judicial hearings, vacating property lines, let's see, I think there's, as we move on, you'll reconvene as the Urban Renewal Agency, and there is a resolution awarding a rehabilitation and restoration grant to Auslan Holdings. I think that's for the 6th Street property, is it not?
Yes, I believe so. And so that might be of interest to some people in the public. But it definitely is a much more, business, straightforward business tomorrow. No new.
And that's basically a reimbursement, is it not?
Yes, it absolutely is. And we did yesterday in the, my mind is, I don't know if it was yesterday or in our last meeting, we did get an update on those. And so tomorrow that will just be, we'll consider it in the urban renewal.
How many different hats do you hear? Of course, urban renewal and city council. And,
Yeah, and the different committees that we volunteer on, and which is a lot of fun and really adds to the city. But it is a lot of volunteer time to put in.
What different committees do you serve on?
Yours is?
Mine is the Historical Buildings and Signs Committee, and also the Public Safety Budget Committee. So it takes up... Yeah,
I'll bet a time.
Two hours at least per. About an hour or so, depending on how long it goes, per month, per committee.
And then mine is Southern Oregon Council of Governments, and so that's a regional committee that has people from Talent, from Ashland, from Medford, from just different people representing cities all over Southern Oregon.
All right, Eric, Public Safety Committee. All right. What are the chances of getting our police force and our fire department up to staff levels that are needed?
Well, that's what they're going to present. Actually, we were talking about that in that committee the last time, and they're going to present that on the next. I believe it's on the 14th of July, and they're going to have individuals there that on the committee to discuss specifics. One of the big issues is the increasing the either the police or the fire department eight personnel. And the problem is that, you know, obviously that costs a lot of money, taxpayer money. But the benefits in that, they were arguing that it's going to decrease the overtime rates by quite a bit, by 75%, I think, if I remember correctly. So there, that's another thing that.
So you're balancing dollars there.
Exactly.
Are the dollars going to be there, or does your crystal ball tell you?
It's a tough one because, again, with the homelessness unfunded mandate issue, you know, that each of those camps cost upwards of $400,000 per year.
A minimum of $371,000.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And it just varies a lot. So
and that did not include public safety.
Correct, and that's all the more police department has to go over there and deal with bring their attention towards these camps. And anyhow, what I'm getting at is that there's a lot of funding that's going around between that and the pay increases, as well as the now with this public safety increase in personnel. And the other thing is the transfers between, so if we have new individuals that come, the pipeline is about a year's worth of training for them to get up to speed 100%. And if they don't,
that's going through the academy and then the on-site.
Correct. Training. Correct. I mean, so it's a 1 year lag time, and that's assuming that they get, hired on. So,
all right, well, let's move ahead just a little bit. This Friday is Independence Day.
Yes.
4th of July. One of my favorite holidays ever. And in spite of what it really commemorates, I just love the festivities. What is planned for the city?
Well, the city has the fireworks at Reinhardt Volunteer Park. And so, yeah, a great celebration. And it's the third annual Food Truck Festival and Classic Car Show. There is a Bounce Fest. And so that's for the children. And a live concert, Paper Flyers, at 8 p.m. So come on out and
now, all of that's at Reinhardt Park, including the car show.
Yes, yes. So very exciting. And it should be a great celebration for the city. So come on down and
are there
enjoy.
Buses? Are there buses scheduled for transportation to and from?
Oh, goodness gracious. I am not certain about that. I should know that, but I don't know.
Oh, you get a demerit.
I do. Right. I absolutely get a demerit. I'm so sorry.
All right. Eric, any thoughts on the Independence Day celebration?
Well, I just wanted to point out also that the Caveman Pool has been open since the 24th of June, according to the city website. And also they're planning on putting in I forget what it was called, but basically it's fully operational. Fully operational to the best extent that it can be, but it's open. So it's open for kids to come out and everybody else to come out and go in there.
And it'll be open on the 4th.
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. All right. Victoria, Eric, I want to thank you both very much for your time today. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Once again, next week we'll have city staff in. Following that will be county staff. Then the third Tuesday on down the road will be the county commissioners here on KAJO Radio. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
You hear that?